Thanks, Emily. Hello, church. My name's Nick. I'm one of the clergy team here at All Saints. As Steve mentioned before, we're starting a new series, Advent series, this morning. You may know that when the writers of the New Testament wrote the accounts of Jesus' life, they often quoted, as they spoke about his birth, promises, predictions from the Old Testament to help people realize how exciting it is that Jesus had come to us. And so what we're going to do over the next 3 weeks is we're going to look at some of those predictions from the Old Testament that they quote about Jesus' birth, just to help us get excited, to remind us how awesome it is that Jesus has come to us. Now, we're looking at the first one this morning, and the first one, I think, is designed to bring us comfort. These words, designed to bring us comfort. Let me pray as we begin. Our great God and Father, we thank you and praise you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask that this morning you would lift our eyes to behold your glory in his face once again. Amen. So we're thinking about comfort. Let me ask a semi-intense question. I wonder, in what area of your life do you most need comfort right now? In what area of your life do you most need to be comforted? We live in a world of struggle, don't we? It's the end of a busy term. We're heading into a stressful season called Christmas. Where for you in your life right now do you need comfort? I mean, I don't know. I wonder what your personal pains are, what your worries might be, what struggles you may be facing. Where do you need comfort at the moment? This chapter, Isaiah 40, was written to a group of people whose lives had been shattered. Their country had been invaded. They had been deported in captivity. Right, so they'd been ripped apart from their families, devastated by grief. And to people whose lives have been shattered like that, any sort of cheap comfort is kind of cruel. So how, here in this passage, how does God bring comfort to them? Well, I want you to look down towards the end of verse 9. Have a look down towards the end of verse 9. It says, "Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God." Now in Hebrew, the "here is," it's more literally translated, "behold." Behold your God. God comforts them and us by lifting our eyes to behold him. It's a little bit like, I wonder, have you ever seen the situation with a small child getting distressed about something? I don't know, maybe a toy's broken or something. And they're getting really, really distressed about it. And what does a parent do? A parent comes over, lifts their head and says, "Look at me." And as the child's getting all upset, and then they look up and look into their parents' eyes, and at least sometimes, they start to calm down, receive comfort. Not that the situation has changed yet, but by beholding their parent, start to receive comfort. A little picture, I think, of how God often comforts Christians in life. Not always by changing the circumstances, but by lifting our eyes to behold him. So look, this morning, whether you consider yourself a religious person here or not, will you let this passage lift your eyes to behold God? Three things we're going to see about him as he says to us, "Look at me." Three things we'll see about him: his presence, his power, and his tenderness. That's where we're going. Presence, power, tenderness. So let's dive in then. First thing we're going to see, his presence. Have a look down. Again, end of verse 9. "Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power." Here is your God. See, he comes. Right, the comfort here is that God himself will show up. Do you see that? Personally, it's not that he's going to send help. Rather, he is going to bring, he is going to show up and bring the blessings with him. Now, to people who have been deported, who feel cut off, who feel like God is distant, God doesn't care, God says, I will come and be the answer to your problems. I will be present. Now, we know, don't we, in life, sometimes it makes all the difference when someone just shows up. So I remember a moment when I was 12 years old, and my dad had been speaking in America, and my mum and I went over to be with him in America. And I had to go back early because I had to be in a school play. And so my mum and I, we had to fly across the country, and then we had to get a flight from over to the UK. But with the first flight, there was an electrical storm. We were grounded, didn't get to take off for hours. And by the time we got to the next airport, we'd missed the connecting flight. I don't know if you've ever been in an airport. I remember running into the airport up to the desk. When people have lost their connecting flight, they go a bit nuts. Everyone's sort of panicking. It's a horrible feeling. And I remember my mum at the desk trying to find some way to get us back over the Atlantic, go anywhere in Europe, and nothing. There was nothing we could do. There's no way of getting back across. We're in this town. We don't know anybody in this city. Don't know what we're going to do. Don't know how we're going to get back. And we end up in this sort of grotty motel. And my mum was desperately on the phone all night trying to reach the school to say he's not going to be back in time for the play because we're on the wrong continent. And about halfway through the night, I remember there ended up being a violent argument in the room next door to the point that it was sort of too frightening to leave the room. And we just felt so cut off, so exposed, so vulnerable, a horrible feeling. And then the next morning, we go back to the airport, and do you know what happens? My dad flies in. He showed up. His personal presence came to be with us. And you can imagine, it changed everything. And the problem, we still needed to sort the problem out, but having him there with us changed everything. Look at verse 9 with me again. The end of verse 9. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes. The comfort here is the promise that God himself will show up. Right? Not that he'll send help from a distance, but that he will come to us. And that changes everything. One person once said of verse 9, said, he shows in one word the perfection of all man's happiness, which is to have the presence of God. He shows up. Now look, the readers that this was first written to, they had to look forward to when this promise would be fulfilled. For you and me, sitting 3,000 years later, we can look back to that first Christmas and see the moment that this came true. We can see that God has showed up in Jesus Christ. He has come to us. And by his Spirit, if we're trusting in him, we can know the personal presence of God moment by moment, day by day. He has shown up. He is personally present. Look, like a parent lifting our eyes to say, look at me, I am here. I am here. He's present through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the first thing we're going to see. God's presence. That's the first thing we see. Next thing we're going to see about his presence, though, is also his power. Look at verse 10 with me. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power. See that in verse 10? And he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him and his recompense accompanies him. Notice how it describes God showing up there. He rules with a mighty arm. It's like he rolls up his sleeves to sort things out. Now again, this is written to people whose lives have been shattered by forces that are too strong for them. Forces outside of their control. They've been invaded and deported. Here, God says that when he shows up, he's not just going to pat them on the head and say, "There, there." No, he comes with power. Notice the second half of verse 10. It says his reward is with him and his recompense accompanies him. Now, I don't think it says, I don't think that means he comes to give us our reward. Notice it says that it's his reward. I think the picture here is like he has won a great reward, like a king who's fought off an oppressive enemy and has won a great reward in the spoils of battle. And then that victorious king comes back to share that reward with his people. That's the picture here. The picture is nothing can stop him. He comes with power. Again, when a young child is panicking and they're struggling, and whatever the problem is, it sort of fills their mind and fills their eyes, and they're struggling. And then they look up at their parents and realize in that moment, oh, mum or dad, they are bigger than my problem, my broken toy, or whatever it is. There is something bigger than what is upsetting me. Well, look, here in this passage, as God lifts our eyes to behold him and says, "Look at me, I am bigger than your problem. My intentions will triumph over your frailties." He comes with power. But notice, really interestingly, notice how the tone changes in verse 11. Look down with me, if you will, at verse 11. "He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Do you see the difference there? As well as power, he also wants us to see his tenderness. Like a shepherd gently gathering the lambs into his arms. Now look, sorry to change the tone. Has anybody seen Clarkson's Farm? Everyone know who Jeremy Clarkson is? Not known for being a patient man. Right, in Clarkson's Farm, he's got a farm, and he's just a rubbish farmer. He's terrible at it. I've only seen two episodes, but in the second episode, he gets a bunch of sheep. And look, not known for his patience, he finds them very frustrating because they're constantly doing things that put themselves in danger. Really, he's really annoyed with them. But fascinatingly, within 2 weeks, as he personally tends to these sheep, feeds them, cares for them, within 2 weeks, he starts to deeply care about them. He starts, you know, getting emotional about them. And that's Jeremy Clarkson. It's fascinating to me that when God wants to help us see what he's like, he chooses this picture. Look at verse 11 with me again. "He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs, not into a pen." What does he gather the lambs into? His arms. He carries them. Where does he carry them? Close to his heart. Do you see how personal, how tender this imagery is? Now, the God who is powerful is also tender and gentle. Do you notice his arm, verse 10, he rules with a mighty arm, is the same arm, verse 11, that gathers the lambs to his chest. Do you see that combination of power and tenderness? God uses his arms not to hold you and I at a distance, but to draw us close to his mighty heart. And that's the combination that we want, isn't it? Like a powerful God who's not gentle, well, that's a tyrant. Don't want that. But a gentle God who's not powerful, that's nice, but it's a bit rubbish, a bit wet. But powerful arms that gently carry you. There's comfort. There is hope. And that's exactly what we see in the Lord Jesus Christ when he came to be God with us 2,000 years ago. That combination of power and tenderness. He showed us exactly what God has always been like. power. He transformed lives, not with military might. He transformed lives. Even when people murdered him, he rose from the dead and unleashed a power into this world that has transformed the course of human history more than anybody else who's ever lived. And many people here in the room could testify to his power and how it's changed our lives. Three people tonight being baptized could testify to that power. He's immensely powerful. And yet, he's also tender and gentle. Remember all the stories in his life where he raises up the downcast and the lowly. He's tender like a shepherd. You may remember Christ himself said famously, "I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep." A simple idea at the heart of the Christian faith that Jesus Christ would die to pay the price for every single thing that you and I have done wrong. All the mistakes, all the guilt, all the regrets, to remove every barrier between us and God so that now we can be welcomed into God's arms. So that his powerful, tender presence can gather us into his arms. So he can shepherd us through life. One person, this combination, this beautiful combination of attributes. One person said this of Jesus Christ. They said, "In a sweet conjunction, we see both majesty and meekness joined together. It was a sweet and gentle and holy majesty, and also a majestic sweetness, an awful sweetness, a high and great and holy gentleness." You see this combination, power and tenderness in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what we need. Now look, if anyone's here just looking into the Christian faith this morning, God has shown up in Jesus Christ. It's like he's knocking on the door, waiting for you to let him in, to bring this powerful, tender presence into your life. But for those of us that would call ourselves Christians then, what are we to do with this? As God says, "Look at me, I'll be with you, I'm powerful and I'm tender." What are we to do with that? Well, two things this passage calls us to do. They're both in verse 9. The first one is, behold him. Look at the end of verse 9 again. Do you remember it says, "Say to the towns of Judah, here is, behold your God." The first thing for you and I to do in our struggles, whatever your struggles may be this Christmas, what you and I need to do is behold God again. Let him lift our eyes to what he is like. That is how God comforts us. It's not always by changing our circumstances, though sometimes it is that. It's not always by giving us what we want, though sometimes he does that. It is by showing us himself, showing us his glory in the face of Christ. So make it your aim this Christmas, amongst all the busyness, to behold God again. To behold his glory in the face of Christ. Make that your aim this Christmas and you won't be disappointed. Look, there are loads of Advent devotionals that we've been waving around. Loads of Advent devotionals you can get your hands on. Spend a bit of time each day beholding the glory of God in the face of Christ. That's the first thing we're to do this Christmas in our struggles. Behold him. Second thing we're to do in verse 9 is to shout. Look at the start of verse 9 with me, if you will. "You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid, say to the towns of Judah, here is your God." This news, this comfort is so good that it's meant to be shouted. Right, God's purpose this Christmas, it's not just that you and I enjoy the comfort of the gospel, but that we increase that joy by sharing it with others, by shouting about it to others. A purpose of life, a purpose of Christmas is not just that you and I feel good, but that God is glorified, that people see his glory in the face of Christ. And the amazing thing here, I think, is that we actually increase our joy in God's comfort by spreading it around to others. It wouldn't be an All Saints sermon if I didn't quote C.S. Lewis, would it? So, here's your C.S. Lewis quote for the week. Check this out. Just as men spontaneously praise whatever they value, so they spontaneously urge us to join them in praising it. Isn't she lovely? Wasn't it glorious? Don't you think that's magnificent? I think we delight to praise what we enjoy because the praise not merely expresses but completes the enjoyment. It is its appointed consummation. God's purpose for you and I is not that we would enjoy, just that we would enjoy the comfort of the gospel, but that we would increase that joy by spreading it to others, to the glory of God. Shout. Shout about this comfort this Christmas. How are you going to do that? Now look, we're British, so maybe don't actually raise your voice at people. Might have the inverse effect. Many ways of shouting, though. Here are just a few things I know that some people here in the room have been doing. I know people that have been shouting online, posting on social media, posting to WhatsApp groups of parents and friends with our invitations to Christmas services, emailing groups of people, texting families, shouting digitally. I know some people that have been writing Bible verses in their Christmas cards that they send to people. I know some people here who are trying to bring people to our Christmas services. I was so encouraged at our home group on Wednesday. Some people here, they've gone round their close and they've taken these invitations and they've knocked on every door in their close and said, look, we've got this stuff going on. I'd love you to come to one of these services with me. I know another family here, and they organized mulled wine and mince pies for all their neighbors, had them round to have a party, and at that party, invited them to the Christmas services, shouting about this good news. Now look, it is scary, isn't it? It is scary to do that. Look, I get paid to do this, and I still get scared to invite my neighbors. I do. But look halfway through verse 9. God knows that it's scary. Look halfway through verse 9. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Yes, it's scary. God knows it's scary. But don't let that scariness stop you. Push through that fear. Because we've got a comfort that is worth sharing with people. Now let me ask, how are you going to obey verse 9 this week? How are you going to shout this good news? Take a moment and just think, what are you going to do to shout this good news this week? I've given you a bunch of ideas. What are you going to do? Take a moment to think. God has brought us the ultimate comfort at Christmas. He lifts our eyes to say, look at me. He's brought us the ultimate comfort, his powerful, tender presence in Jesus Christ. Behold it and shout about it. Shall I pray? Our great God and Father, we pray now that you would show us what you want us to do. Show us now how you would have each of us shout about this comfort this Christmas. Lord, you know we find it scary. But we pray that as we behold your glory in the face of Christ, you'd give us what we need to push through that fear and share this comfort with others. Lord, please lift our eyes to behold you. Please strengthen us to shout about you, we pray. For your glory, we ask it. Amen.